Welcome to From the Terraces Extra, your weekly football fix. Cambridge United end their seven-match winless run after hitting Southampton for four last night. Adi Aziz bagged a hat-trick, and I'll be reviewing the match with Cambridge News' Andrew Georgeson and looking at what this means for Saturday as well. St Neots have done it again, and after last night's last-minute equaliser to take their FA Cup tie against Colville Town to a replay on Saturday, they scored in stoppage time again to level at 3-3 before winning on penalties. Manager Matt Clements joins me this hour. Cambridge City have gone four games unbeaten and are in FA Trophy action this weekend. Steve Gawthrop joins us on the phone to talk through that one. And Cambridge United women are through to the FA Cup first round proper after beating Stevenage Ladies 4-2 on penalties on Sunday. They'll be drawn up against Cambridge City Girls. We'll be chatting to Kevin Hoover all about that one as well. First, let's get started, and we're talking Cambridge United. So Cambridge United have ended their seven-game winless run after beating Southampton under-21s in the Chequered Trade Trophy last night. Striker Adi Aziz bagged his first hat-trick for the club and in professional football. Giovanni Brown grabbed the other, adding to his two assists on the night. So we'll be chatting to Andrew Georgeson and looking ahead to this Saturday's match against MK Dons in just a bit. First, let's hear from manager Joe Dunn on what he thought after last night's win.
Yeah, look, you can only playing the competition to try and progress and do the best you can and beat whatever's put in front of you. I think I said in pre-match, it doesn't matter who we're playing tonight. We needed a good professional performance, and up and down the country there'll be many teams that have done similar, but I thought it was a professional performance against, you know, they've got quality young players in their team developing and working, and they had a good result in the previous game. So we took it deadly serious. And
so, Andrew, a 4-0 win in the Chequered Trade Trophy against Southampton under-21s last night. This is your day off, actually, today, so nothing like talking about Cambridge United on your day off. But we could be looking at that win in a few weeks. It's probably one of the most important in the youth season so far, if they go on and turn it around in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I kind of guess so. I think the most important thing is that they actually use this game to sort of build some kind of momentum. It's such a kind of buzzword in football, momentum, and what does momentum mean? And, you know, momentum changes in games. So we've seen in Cambridge United in pretty much every game this season. But as for the game itself, it was just a kind of professional performance, I suppose. We saw it in the players. We didn't celebrate really after any goal. It was kind of high fives and kind of hugs, pat on the back kind of thing. And Jordan said after the game, we're not like hollering and whooping in the changing rooms because we beat an incredibly young Southampton under 21 side 4-0. I mean, 4-0 is quite a good scoreline. It's only their second clean sheet, which is again important. Finlay Ayan getting a debut and stuff like that. Most important of the youth season so far, potentially. Again, if still think Notts County probably was, because if he didn't win that game, goodness knows where we would be by now. But yeah, it is about building on this. It's seeing how we can go forward. Osa Deby and Lewis came in yesterday. I didn't think Ivan particularly did anything to really suggest that they're going to be anywhere near starting so far. So from that point of view, it's disappointing. But then a few of the players, like, you know, your David Amuse, Giovanni Browns, performed quite well. So that's the most important thing, I guess.
Yeah, Adi Aziz, one of those players who performed well. He bagged a hat-trick last night. I guess if you had to pick one man to get a hat-trick before the match, it would be your striker, your only striker now, because Barry Court and Jabba Bira are sidelined for a few weeks.
Yeah, and I'm really pleased with Adi. I think Adi gets a really hard time. He's not one of these strikers who's going to score loads of goals ever, really, but, you know, he drags the play. He's like a number 11 rather than a striker. So against Crawley especially, he sort of is drawn towards a corner flag like a moth to a light, and then, you know, you've got your Mouses and your Browns popping up in the middle, and if that's what he does, that's what he does. But to suggest that Adi Aziz will then go on and score fee against MK Dons is probably pushing it, but he gets in the right positions, and, you know, that's kind of what you need to calm people down a little bit.
Yeah, Aziz will steal the headlines, but Giovanni Brown was sensational again last night, two assists and a goal for him. But he just showed last night, I know it was only against Southampton under-21s, but how pivotal he was, and perhaps what a miss he was at the start of the season when he wasn't there, linking the midfield to attack his hold-up players well for a small lad, and his first touch he did really well.
Yeah, I mean, he was sort of the Giovanni Baum, which we've been used to seeing. It was quite interesting, I thought, watching him against these academy players, because it's kind of nearly the upbringing which he didn't have, yet he is as technically kind of good as them, so it kind of makes you think if he made it through Peterborough system, if he made it through MK Don's system, what he actually would have looked like in the end. But yeah, he was brilliant. Maybe hidden stride, obviously he was ill, he probably lost a bit of weight, he took him a while to get back to fitness. And him and David Amu as well, Amu playing this kind of pseudo striker role, which didn't really work, but then in the second half he played well, got his assist, could have got a goal as well. But yeah, Giovanni was just doing Giovanni things for a lot of the game.
Yeah, it was quite a fluid front two, and then Giovanni the number 10 mixing it up a bit. But another positive last night was the youngsters playing. Harry Darling played a full 90, Leon Davies came on to play 45, Tom Knowles got a cameo at the end, he's probably will be his only cameo for the next few weeks as well. But who impressed you the most out of those youngsters?
I think Harry Darling probably. He went on that really marauding run at the end of the game, which was really strange. He just kind of had his head, he didn't seem like he had a plan what he was going to do when he got there, but he just had his head down. He thought, I'm going to run, we're 4-0 up, I'll do what I want. And I think he needed that. He was really sort of putting his body about, making some, it was one really nasty challenge at the end actually, when they both kind of caught each other's feet a little bit. But it was good to see him sort of dominating these players, because he had a really rough time against Northampton, which I think was probably the last time he played. And you know, I think Darling is one of those ones who you say will definitely make it. Tom Knowles, everyone's very excited about Tom Knowles. People perhaps need to temper their expectations on Tom Knowles as being this saviour of the club, but he's a very good player, I've got no doubt. And Leon Davies, I think, is one of those ones who maybe should be knocking on the door for first team, putting a bit more pressure on Brad maybe, especially after the past few weeks. Harry Darling for me was the youth player who I would pick out.
Yeah, it was interesting also to watch Joe Dunn, actually listen to Joe Dunn coach these players through the game. I was sat behind him, and yeah, it was really interesting the last 20 minutes, especially when Knowles came on. Him against the Southampton coach, he was trying to switch the ball all the time, and Dunn was getting these players in between the fullback and the centre back to try and stop that from happening. And it was really interesting, and it re-emphasised for me that perhaps what we hadn't thought of the last few weeks, that he is a really good coach, Dunn, and especially for these young players coming through, he's probably the perfect guy you'd want bringing these youngsters through.
Yeah, we mentioned Harry Darling's sort of run a second ago. As soon as he did it, I saw Joe, and he was kind of telling him basically to get back into position essentially straight away, and still instructing him to do things, which is nice, because you know, if someone makes a run like that from centre back, you'd kind of applaud them, but you're like, well, you could get counter, you could concede. Mm. You know, he's always thinking, he's always on things, and we know Joe wants these players to get better. We know it isn't probably the ideal time to put them in the league, you know, and Tom Knowles and stuff like that, but we all need to understand the system. I think we're at a point now with this squad that we all need to understand exactly what to do when they come into a team. We've always been told that they do understand. We have very little evidence to suggest that they do understand, apart from Harry Darling, because he's the only one who plays, and Leon Davies to an extent. So yeah, with Mark Bonham as well, that is the point. I mean, Ben Trang said that over the day that they've got to be careful on how they introduce these players, but it's positive to see them coming and actually look like able players, really.
And I guess in terms of the context of the competition, just finally on the Checkatrade game last night, not only is it a potentially big win in looking at the bigger picture, but also in the actual competition, in the group stages, they now sit top going into that game against Colchester United, so in pretty good shape.
Yeah, it's a strange one, the Checkatrade Trophy, because I know what people's opinions are, but I know the club. I would love to know what the club think about it, because it's either a little bit more money. If you get out of this stage, you think, oh, well, you know, a few games on Wembley and stuff, but then you've got the League One team. So it's a bit of a blessing and a curse. Cambridge probably can't afford any more fixtures on the fixture list at the minute, as it stands with the size of the squad. But, you know, it's an awful lot of money. And a win is a win. If you get through against the top two, go through. So, you know, even if you take Colchester penalties, then, you know, could still squeeze through.
Mm, and talking about the Checkatrade prize fund, gets an extra 10k apparently in the bank for winning the game last night, so which moves me on nicely to the next talking point. You met up with Ben Strang the other day, so firstly, what are your impressions of him, and what the main points in the conversation you had with him?
Ben's a really nice guy. Me and Ben Strang have a good kind of repertoire, I suppose. When the George Maris deal fell through, we're kind of in communication then. We've been in communication off season. He talks quite a lot about the youth development He's actively aware that for that to be really validated and people to understand that they need to start producing first-team players. I think a lot of people kind of seem to have the opinion of, let's do what Wickham did, let's strip back everything, let's have a first team. And I don't think they believe that. I think they believe that they've got the players to go forward. He talked about the striker situation quite a lot. He kind of conceded that perhaps they made a mistake in their approach, but he said the approach was based around 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1 and having one hold-up striker, but when they've played the diamond for just as many games, that sort of argument falls through quite quickly. But he seems to acknowledge his mistakes, and you know, the idea of going for a free agent seems strange to me, and the fact that he said it on the record perhaps suggests that it's more further along than it actually maybe we think it is. Funds in January, it's something like Graham Daniels have said as well, that's such an important thing because this squad just desperately needs a few more players, and if he's saying they're going to get them, then hopefully he'll be true to his word.
That brings me on to my next point. Lots of talk, especially on social media and the forums as well, about whether Cambridge will have money. People seem to be of the opinion that we've got no money at all, that the bank is empty, we're cutting our cloth this year, etc. But he did say, and he did stress, there will be money to spend in January, which, look at now, like I say, the club pretty much massively needs. And what positions do you think are important for you to strengthen in if they can?
I think another centre-back is needed. I think Harry Darling is obviously a good player. Relying on him to push George Taft and Greg Taylor is probably not that advisable. Just some kind of utility left-sided player I would quite like if Harrison Dunk just isn't going to be fit. which brings you on to a Ben Strang thing about the kind of long-term contracts of other players on. It's probably a thing which winds people up a little bit. Perhaps moving players out as well. That maybe will free up some funds, which is something which I think needs to happen.
Name drop?
I'm not privy to any information. I don't want to chuck any players under the bus, but I'm sure there's one or two who maybe need to be moved on at this point. But yeah, a left-sided player, a striker, and another centre-back is what I think. Just not another attacking midfielder. We've got more than enough attacking midfielders.
Yeah, the point Strang made also about the strikers, he said, and I quote, "We feel that getting our best players on the pitch fundamentally lies around a 4-2-3-1 and a 4-3-3 and playing one centre-forward. So he made the decision on that basis to go with three centre-forwards rather than four or five." So it's a valid point. Like I say, if you have got that one striker up top, to go with three. But those two of those three strikers are Barry Coo and Jabo Abire, and they're going to be injured for quite a lot of the season as they are at the minute, which leaves us the situation we're in at the minute with just Adi Aziz to play up front with not many options or any options of a striker on the bench.
Yeah, I find it really puzzling that they assumed that they would both be fit for so long when, you know, Abire had a concussion problem last year. He has injury problems throughout his whole career, and he's never been prolific. He scored quite a few Carl Light, but he's never been prolific strapping. Barry is what Barry is. He's a sort of 20 minutes, 30 minutes cameo player now. And then when they've played the diamond quite a lot as well, I think it kind of makes you question, because they don't even have any youth kind of strikers that they can call on at this point. They've made a mistake, haven't they? They've just not really thought. Maybe, I don't think they've thought it through, but maybe we should have. They should have just got another striker. There's no other way of saying it. I'm trying to articulate it in a different way, but they should have just got another striker in. And now we've acknowledged that, then, you know, maybe we'll get one in January. I've got no doubt that they're looking at several now. But yeah, it seems strange to base around the system when you've got two players who missed about 40-odd games between them last season.
Yeah, moving on to the MK Dons match then this weekend. The Ewes go into it not with no wins in seven, so that's off their back. They've stopped the rot at home against MK. So what do you expect from the match? A positive result would, I guess, be a point or a win. It sounds true to say when they're at the bottom they need wins, but I guess against a side like MK Dons they'd probably take a point. But again, it could kickstart their league form again.
Yeah, I think we have to not lose. I think that's the main thing. I wouldn't mind, you know, if going back to the old Sean Derry days of box midfield. I'm not entirely sure what that still meant, but it seemed to grind out 0-0. 0-0 results, and you think you would take one of those at this point, because the fixture list isn't particularly kind now. You know, it's MK Dons and it's Lincoln away, which is just an awful match, and then Swindon in midweek, which again is not a particularly nice place to go on your travels when we know about the infamous staying overnight situation when they don't win games. I think any kind of result which isn't a defeat this weekend will be fine. It'll be fascinating to see what team he goes with, because you think you can't go as gung-ho as it went yesterday. You can't play him as a striker. That seems really, it seemed a bit irresponsible to do that. I personally think he should do how he did in Newport. He played this kind of 4-3-3 when sort of Taylor dropped back into midfield a little bit and dropped back to shield the defence, and it was like a V-shape. But if he does that or not, I'm not sure. But yeah, a win could kickstart the league form, But I think we just need to make sure a point is the minimum.
Yeah, it just sounds as though Dunne's been trying to keep his players motivated this week. Here is what he said yesterday about how things have been going behind closed doors this week.
My job is to make sure that I just keep trying to improve the people that are here at the club. And sometimes that means not necessarily being the head coach. It just means being somebody they can talk to as well, and we can talk, and we've had good discussions after Saturday. I thought, and I don't want to keep talking about last Saturday, but there was some really good stuff, and sometimes you just have to lift players' heads, and it's not about football. It doesn't become about football. It just becomes about giving somebody confidence, and when everyone around is making a lot of noise, and, you know, we understand why. We understand why. We speak about it as a team. And you just have to manage people sometimes, and we did that yesterday in long conversations in the office with people, and because the harder it gets, you know, you can lose people, and my job is as much to keep them motivated and at it, because we're a small group. We've had Paul Lewis injured again tonight, so after a good performance, you know, Manny Osadibi coming in, I thought it was exceptional with the amount of ground he covered. Positives for us, you know, real positives tonight. So pleased for the players, and, you know, we've spoke about it there already. They're coming in tomorrow and being professional to go again.
So Dunne trying his best to really keep these players motivated. That was before the game, actually, that the conversation was after, but talking about what had gone on before last night's game, so when they were still on that seven-game winless run. So, Andrew, this game then on the weekend, like I say, does Joe change the style of play? Because still in the league, they haven't won in seven. But, you know, he said lots of time he wants to play this expansive football. And as much as a football fan, I admire that. It's not getting results at the minute, and it's a results business, as everyone keeps saying. So just, you know, does he change or does he stick?
Oh, yeah, I think he has to change. I think he has to go more defensive. I think 4-2-3-1. I see John coming in for Darling. So a back forward stay the same. Min O'Neill, Deegan probably midfield. I believe Vegetama is on international duty.
So I imagine so. If Bermuda got an international game, he'd be going off again.
So he's gone for, I think he might only miss one, but I'm sure he misses one later on in the month as well. I'm sure that's quite close to that fixture. So that's huge. That's a massive, because he is the informed player. He is the one who MK Dons will probably be relieved, isn't there? So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, David Moose seems fit enough, so maybe it's a Gubby and maybe Maris Brown. Then Aziz up top, then you've got Aziz, a lone striker, so it kind of, it makes it very difficult again. But yeah, maybe a bit more defensive, but we'll see how he goes. But I certainly don't think it'll be as an attacking or beautiful lineup as it was last night.
We'll see. Well, hopefully, whatever the lineup and whatever the system Joe plays, Cambridge can get a win and make it 2 wins on the bounce in all comps and that winless streak in the league. But thank you for joining us, Andrew. Very appreciate it on your day off as well.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back to From the Terraces Extra on Cambridge 105 Radio. St Neots Town are through to the FA Cup fourth round qualifying round after defeating Colville Town on penalties last night. They secured a replay against them on Saturday after scoring a last minute equaliser and once again taking the match into extra time and then penalties after a late equaliser last night. The Saints won the shootout 5-3, and I'm delighted to say manager Matt Clements joins me now. So thanks for joining me, Matt.
More than welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, Matt, we'll look at your journey in just a minute, but first, it's only right to talk about the emotion of last night. Just describe how you're feeling after the penalty shootout.
Emotionally drained, if I'm being honest. Still got a massive smile on my face. I had one all day, despite 3 hours sleep. But it's worth it, because I think last night was the best of the lot so far. I don't want it to happen anymore, to be fair, because I can't take it. But it was more a case of the fans, the club, the players were amazing. And what it's actually done for the football club, and, you know, there's people smiling, it's all over Twitter, and people have got a great buzz about it and enjoying it, which they should do. You know, it's a fantastic achievement what's happened here. But yeah, I'm drained, but I've still got a smile on my face and enjoying it for now. But we've got to eventually park it and move on. But it's brilliant, and can't really put it into words, to be fair.
Yeah, the game that got everyone talking was the last round tie against Romulus, winning 4-3 after trailing 3-0. Then you took Colville, who were second in your league in the Southern Premier in Central, to a replay after a last minute equaliser. You were then trailing 3-1 with minutes to spare last night, pulled it back to 3-0, and then won on penalties. I would ask, how do you ensure the players don't get carried away? But I guess going into these cup games now, you're underdogs because the sides you're playing against are likely to be above you in the Football League tiers. So you must just want to ride with the feeling and keep it going.
There's a bit of that. You've got to use that. You've got to use the positives for these boys, because you know they've been fantastic, and that was the biggest thing we learned from these amazing things we're doing and that they're doing. But also, it's also that you've got to can't rely on it. You know, we've got to work hard. We've got to kind of channel it and use it. And yeah, listen, we're underdogs against Colville. There's no doubt about that. They're second of the line, and we'll be underdogs against Alberton. But it's more a case of just looking after ourselves, and like I said, learning about the amazing resilience and achievements they've put together, and getting better from them. But also realising that they can match anyone on a day, but they've got to back themselves. They've got to be brave. They've got great quality. And to do it once is fantastic. To do it now three times, including Bishop Stortford, is a sign of a very good side. So they've got to believe in themselves, use all the great experiences we've had, but it'd be nice to do it in a little less stressful way. But I'll take it anyway. But yeah, they've just got to learn from it. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, back to reality and back to the league this weekend. How do you ensure, though, Kettering come to Rowley Park on Saturday, that your players' attention are firmly on the league and this Saturday's game?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we enjoy it. It's fantastic. We enjoyed it last night. We enjoy it today. And then from tomorrow onwards, we've got Kettering. The FA Cup's irrelevant. It's been and gone. We've won the draw, which is fantastic. Love all that. We know who we're playing, but we're playing now a team who'll be as good as Colville. You know, we've had two very tough games against Colville. We matched them, which is fantastic, and we're going to need to match Kettering. We're going to have to bring everything we've brought in the last couple of games. But that's where I kind of say to the boys, it isn't about just kind of becoming an FA Cup side. They've got to learn from his experiences, realise they're a good side. We treat every game the same. And you know, it's not just Kettering Saturday, it's Royston on the Tuesday, two very good sides. So we have to get better and use all positive experiences. So I will be asking the boys, regardless of anything which might be up and coming, to focus on the day and to realise that we need to improve our league position. We need to get points, we need to get performances, and I'll demand the same from them. They've shown that, and they can't just switch it on and off, which I know they won't. You know, they've grown a lot in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and I'm backing us to put in a very big performance again on Saturday.
Yeah, and quickly touched on Gary Wharton last night. Missed 2 seasons with an ACL injury, but has come back fighting fit and scored a brace last night to draw the game level at 3-3. The game is a funny way of rewarding people sometimes, and that must have been a brilliant moment for him.
Definitely. He deserves so many plaudits and credit. And there's lots of people in our team and our staff who are very similar. But for him, it stands out just a little bit more. Because this is a man who texted me about a year and a half ago. Can he come along and just do some rehab and a bit of running? Can we help him? Kaylee, our sports therapist and physio, looked after him. And he worked himself fit. He got himself stronger. He worked really hard. The minute I sat down and said, look, let's give it a go this year, sign on, he was willing to go for it. He featured a little bit for us, but he's had his 2 years out of the game, and you know, I bring him on with 10 minutes to go, and he scores 2 wonder goals, you know, to bring us back into it and to save us. And it's testament to him, because he's a humble guy, he's an amazing guy, like lots of our boys are. But when you go for that kind of knocks, especially in football, it's easy to walk away. But this is a man who approached us, worked hard in the background when the rest of the lads are training, he's on the sideline doing extra work. And I think sometimes, like I said, if you keep going and keep being positive, you'll get your rewards. And that's for him, and also what's happened for us recently as a team.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Matt. And just quickly before you go, I know you've got to go, but just quickly, the next round against Alfreton, mid-table in the National League North, how do you set up? Are you go conservative to get the replay, or do you want your players to enjoy it and go out and be on the front foot?
Front foot. That's all we do. Entertaining. I know some people at the club would like a nice, steady, comfortable. Listen, I'll take 6-5. I don't mind what we do. We have to be exciting. We have to be brave. We've got this far. And for me, it'll just be exactly the same. Listen, we have nothing to lose. We're a very good side. We've got lots of quality. We've got to be brave. But for me, it'll be all guns blazing. and we're going to go out to entertain. And if we're doing this, we might as well do it properly. So I'm looking forward to it.
Terrific, Matt. Well, thank you for joining me, and I'm delighted that the way you got through last night, and I'm delighted that you're in the first round proper. Oh, you'll be almost in the first round proper after the next round as well. Trying to get ahead of myself there, but thanks for joining me, Matt.
Super. Thanks for inviting me on.
Cheers Matt. Yeah. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
That was Matt Clements there, the St Neots Town manager, after their thrilling draw last night, taking to extra time and then winning on penalties. Incredible. They'll be in the next round, the fourth qualifying round. Sorry, I did get ahead of myself, but the first round proper awaits them if they can beat Alfreton Town. Coming up on the Chemistry Football Show, that's Saturday, on Terrace's Extra, we'll be in from former United City and Histon legend Andy Jeffrey, talking City with Steve Gawthorpe and Cambridge United Women with manager Kevin Hoover. Shots by Imagine Dragons there, something Cambridge United have been having a lot of recently, but haven't been putting the ball in the back of the net. Moving on to Andy Jeffrey. He joined me in the studio for the Cambridgeshire Football Show on Saturday lunchtime, and I got him to pick his Cambridge 105 aside. The best five players he had played with, but the rules were they must have played for either United, City or Histon, and consist of a goalkeeper and four outfield players. Here is who he chose. Now, Andy, it's time, though, for your Cambridge 105 aside. You said it's tough picking five. We could have done 11, but unfortunately, we've got an hour. So we've gone with your five aside. The best five players you play with has to be from either United City or Histon, and you cover all three of those sides. So, yeah, it must include a goalkeeper and four outfield players, though. So, yeah, tell us, firstly, who the keeper is and why.
Well, just to say, really, because I've been very fortunate to play with some very good players and may I say also some very good people. So there's so many that are out here, and I'm going to mention some as I go through.
Okay, no worries.
But keeper-wise, I'm just thinking, you know, across the line. Played with great keepers like John Sheffield over at United, Paul Barber at Histon. But the one who really stood out and then went on to have a good career, partially hampered by injuries, John Farland. So our local resident Australian at that time, really, really strong keeper, and you could see from early days, you know, he's a player that joined the club around the same time as me, that he was going to progress on to other things, you know.
And then your four outfield players as well, and why have you gone with them?
Okay, the reason I've gone with them, I said so many good players, so I've picked quite a defensive side because it just seems to be the way that some of my closest friends have come in. So I pick friends because some of the other players, they'll be in lots of other five-a-side teams, OK?
Yeah, no worries.
But we're looking very solid at the back. We've got Steve Gawthorpe.
He'll be very happy.
Well, that's why I'm picking him, right? if he's listening.
Regular for the show as well, so...
Yeah, look, he's a top-class individual. He's a great player. He was such a great servant for City as well. And he's still associated, still follows him. Another one who had a heck of a lot of talent, great centre-half, James Saddington, who played at City and also at Histon. Some most enjoyable times, actually, just sort of trying to make sure that I was covering round James all the time. Also, somebody who was a very good player, started off at Sheffield Wednesday and scored a bit of a wonder strike, which you can check up later against Liverpool, as Dean Barrick. So he was probably my closest friend during my time at United, but a very good player as well, and a International Veterans World Cup winner.
There you go.
Out in the Far East, where he's teaching now as well as a PE teacher. And I need somebody who can score the goals.
Of course.
So I did actually go, kept away from United, and went for Neil Harris, because certainly a City legend. Lots and lots of goals. Went on to a very good career with Millwall and managing them now. Still managing them, right?
Yes, yeah.
Right. I was going to say, as of this morning, he was managing them. If I can quickly, I'll just put in some...
Yeah, feel free.
...noble exceptions. I was talking earlier about the progression that a lot of young players made at United at that time, with the experience of those other players. Players like Micah Hyde went to offer, Gary Rowett, Jody Craddock, Danny Granville, European Cup Winners' Cup medal. And some of those experienced players that were still around, so Liam Dace was there, Mick Heathcote, Danny O'Shea, Mick Cheatham, Steve Claridge came back during that time, and some of those guys, and also Paul Wanless, I know, is a very well-regarded player up at United, and a legend. And then you've got some of the local guys as well, and I think maybe people like Aidy and Jamie Barker, Kendo, Neil Andrews... We'd be very disappointed if I didn't mention them. and especially Ian Cambridge as well. Second best feat in Cambridgeshire.
We'll be delighted you've named him. And the five you have named will be done. What a team it is. Solid at the back, but lots of potency going forward as well. Andy, I've got some quick fire questions for you to finish off. For starting away, straight away, best player you've played with?
Gary McAllister.
Best manager you've been under?
Ooh. It's got to be Fowle. Steve Fallon, surely.
And obviously that win in for Histon as well in the Eastern Counties Premier Division. Yep. Which player had the most potential?
Oh, Danny Granville was a great player, great talent. He made a lot of it as well.
Yeah. Who would you bet your life on scoring a one-on-one?
Apart from me, probably Neil Harris, I'd say.
Player who should have played at a higher level?
Couple at Histon, I would have said. Maybe three. AD Cambridge, Jamie Barker.
Yeah, best moment in your career?
Ooh. Probably Eastern Counties League was good. I think the winning against Peterborough in the FA Cup derby was great, but enjoying the game was the main thing.
Best mate in football?
Depends on the club. Going at United, Dean Barrick. I'd go that way. Sadie, Histon. And City, and also Butch, but a lot of good friends at City.
Mm. And favourite ground you played in front your whole career?
Favourite ground ever? Oh, maybe Old Trafford, something like that.
It's got to be.
Anfield, maybe.
Got to be. Just to finish off, thank you for joining us, Andy. It's been a brilliant insight into your career, and great talk about all the levels you've played at, and definitely a local legend in these parts. That was Andy Jeffrey there talking on the Cambridgeshire Football Show on the weekend. He gave us his Cambridge 105 aside, including Steve Gorthrop, and we'll be getting his reaction to being included in that next. Welcome back to From the Terraces Extra on Cambridge 105 Radio. We'll be talking Cambridge City now, and they've gone four games unbeaten and sit fourth in the league thanks to their latest win, beating Yackley 6-2 on the weekend. Talking all things City is former skipper Steve Gorthrop. So thanks for joining me, Steve.
Yeah, no problem, Molly.
Firstly, Steve, your mate Andy Jeffrey naming you in his all-time five-a-side. What do you make of that, then?
Obviously very nice of him. I can't believe he would name me in his best five-a-side team, but... I'd lucky to play with, as Jeffo said, I listened to his interview, play with some great players and some great people, and you just make friends, and it would be impossible to name, because of the amount of good people and good players we play with. So for him to put me in, it's lovely of him, and I think I owe him a few drinks.
Very humble, and I'm sure he'll say you do. Moving on to City, four games, no losses, three wins. They're in good touch at the moment.
Yeah, brilliant. I think we talked a few weeks ago after disappointing cup game. That's the way to answer it, to turn it round. To win a couple of clean sheets, which is the professional way, and then obviously on Saturday, just some great goals and a good performance, and it just puts us up there. And everyone's now looking round at City. So, in good form, and I'm sure they're buzzing and looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, and the win the last weekend, against Yaxley, I would say Robbie would probably be most pleased in the fact that it was a 6-2 victory. And yes, they've conceded the two goals, and we talk a lot about clean sheets now, which Robbie likes that because they're a rarity in the most respectful way. But the 6-2 is more in line with the form they showed last season. And if City can do that again, they won't be far off the pace this year.
No, we said scoring goals is never a problem, but it's how we reacted after conceding goals that's been the problem. And obviously what we did on Saturday was we reacted to conceding them goals, and that was so positive because, we will score goals and we will concede a few goals. But, if you concede, don't get your heads down, knowing full well you'll get chances again. And if Robbie can instill that, which I know, he will, and the players realise that, don't make it a step back as it has happened recently. And yeah, there will be high scoring games because we are so good going forward. And then it's just down to the defence and the players to, if we concede, is to react and say, right now we keep it tight because we will score, we will get chances. So yeah, it's we're that sort of side that are going to score a lot. If we can keep conceding down to a minimum, and when we do, we react in the positive way, not to get your heads down, knowing that, you know, Ryan Charman and James Hall are just going to create something. So we will always score goals. So yeah, that might be something that'll happen a few more times this year, but as long as we react positively when we do concede, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, you've linked nicely to my next question there. In the last five consecutive matches, at least one of Ryan Charman and James Hall have scored, and in three of those games, they've scored together. Are they playing as a front two? Is one playing slightly deeper in the number 10? Or how are they lining up, Steve? And it's great to see someone supporting Charman and scoring the goals this year that Hall is doing.
Yeah, I think James does a lot more work, and it's not only his goal scoring, but he will come out of playing up front and hold the ball, and then you get your runners going from there, sort of thing. Whereas Ryan, he probably plays as a number 10, but then he can drift up front because he's very good in the air. So if you knock it long, he can flick it on. Like I say, James comes short. They don't really play as an out-and-out number 9 because they just keep interchanging. James likes the ball to his feet, whereas Ryan likes to attack it. And, yeah, it's just getting the ball wide to get those crosses in for Ryan Charman because he makes unbelievably late runs and people can't pick him up. And James normally is integral in that because he'll come and hold it and lay it off so someone then can go wide. And, yeah, I mean, those two together. The one thing we've got now is competition for places in big areas, centre-half, midfield and up front, where other players are now sort of putting their hand up and saying, yeah, I can do a job. Give me a chance. Let me get on. And that will keep them on their toes, like James and Ryan, because they know they have to keep scoring because someone else is there ready to step in. But, yeah, I think they just play so well together because they don't play in set positions. And, yeah, it's looking good.
Yeah, also give a quick mention to Josh Yinsan, he scored a hat-trick on the weekend against Yaxley. But just moving on because we're a bit tight on time, but looking ahead to the match this week, the FA Trophy preliminary action against Peterborough Sports, who are not only in City's league but one place above them in third. So this game now becomes a great chance, yes, to get through, but also to see where they are at in terms of the league against, you know, the sides in their league and sides above them in the league without losing points.
Yeah, and it gives you a chance to put a marker down. If you go Saturday and you want to get through in the trophy just because, you know, you can end up with a good run and some big sides and it's confidence. But you also, if you go there and play well and get a result, it puts a marker down because you have to play them again in the league. And they are going to be one of the sides up there we've seen from, you know, their position and their early season results. So it is. And subconsciously, if you play a side and they dominate you, when you next play them, you're thinking about that. So if we can go there and do a job, perform well and get a result, they will be conscious that when we next play them, they'll be more concerned with us than we will of them. So, yeah, a great chance to not only progress, but put down a little marker and, you know, say to Peterborough Sports that we are, you know, we're going to be a top side, so you have to get to this sort of level. But, yeah, it'd be nice to progress as well, because trophy's never been great for City for many years. So if we can have a nice trophy run, that would be great as well and keeps the momentum going.
Yeah, just really quickly then, Steve, finally, just in a 30-second summary, will Robbie rotate? He and the club were, like you say, really disappointed by the FA Cup exit early in the year. So is Robbie going to be taking this competition really seriously, or because of the situation they are now, fourth in the league, will he be giving a few youngsters a go this week and focusing on the league, or is this competition as serious as any other competition?
I think he'll take it seriously. I think the thing we've got, we haven't got many midweek games. So, you know, you don't get a lot of chance to play other players. But the other thing we've got is those other players are pushing for start. So although he may rotate, he's also rewarding the ones that have done a job when they've come on. So it's not really weakening. It's using the squad, and it will be a squad game to come. So, yeah, he'll take it seriously, but you need a few others as well to put their hand up, and he's going to give them a chance to be part of the rest of the season. So, yeah, hopefully a win would be lovely.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Steve. Hopefully City can make it through to the next round of the FA Trophy on the weekend and also get that fourth win in five. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
No problem, Ollie. Cheers, mate. Bye.
Time to talk Cambridge United women next. Yes, and Cambridge United women are through to the first round proper at the Women's FA Cup after defeating Stevenage Ladies on penalties 4-2 on Saturday. To discuss all with me is manager Kevin Hoover. Thanks for joining me, Kevin.
No problem.
Kevin, a big chance on Saturday to get through to the first round proper. You made it a bit tricky for yourselves going 2-0 up and then Stevenage back into the game. But you're through and that's all that matters.
We did make it hard, yeah. We should have seen it out, to be honest. 20 minutes to go, 2-0 up. But that would have been a bit boring, wouldn't it? So the penalty shootout keeps all the neutrals happy and I'm just thankful we made it through it.
Yeah, and it just explains just quickly what happened. 2-0 up and I presume in control, but two goals in the space of 7 minutes got Stevenage level.
Yeah, we scored. First one was capitalised on a keeper error. Kelly Blanchfell tucked that away nice and calmly. Second half, Molly Cooper come on. Her first touch was a header. That put us in total control. But that 5 minutes after you score, when you're vulnerable, that we let one in. And momentum shifted then. Mm. It's a case of, yeah, we let another one in pretty quickly afterwards. But then we steadied the ship and we had a couple of chances in extra time. To be fair, they had one or two, so probably a fair result in the end, going to penalties, but we held our nerve and, got through.
Yeah, and a win on penalties is always good to get in early in a cup competition, because I guess in case any other games now go down to penalties in the cup, your players already had that experience of getting through a spot kick situation.
Yes, there were some people in there as well that, you know, had history of not being successful. Emma Jenkins for one, I think. Since I've known her, she's had two or three goes at penalty shootouts and wasn't successful, but she's still stuck her hand up and tucked hers away. Amy Howlett missed a penalty in the league game against Stevenage, but she tucked hers away. So, yeah, big penalties. And Steph Gale, who got the winner, has only been on the pitch a matter of a minute or two. She was put on just to take a penalty and she tucked hers away. So, yeah, great character from all of them.
Yeah, brilliant bottle. And another cup game this weekend, first round of the League Cup, which is for National League women's side, but third tier and below. You face Leighton Orient, a side you've beat 3-0 away from home in the second game of this season. So what's your thoughts going into this one?
It'll be a tough game. They've improved since we've played them and we've had a little wobble. So it's going to be an even game. As is a cup game, there's no real pressure on it. We obviously want to go as far as we can in every competition we're in. So it's a bit of a free hit for us. We're trying to relax, play a bit of football and hopefully get the win.
Yeah, is that another side in your league you're playing in the cup? The last two cup matches, Stevenage and now Orient, who are in your league. Is that an extra bonus, not only that you are getting winnable cup ties and sort of not teams above you, but then you can also get one over on your league side before you play them again?
Yeah, it's always good to... You know the opposition, so you kind of know what to expect. With the FA Cup, I quite like the idea of the unknown, really, playing teams you don't generally come across. So, we beat Stevenage, so I'm happy with that, to be honest. So if we could have them every week and beat them every week, then, yeah, of course, I'd be a happy man.
And just finally, Kevin, once again, if you get through this tie, that's suddenly two wins on the bounce, suddenly heading to your league game in 2 weeks' time, you know, you've got two wins on the bounce, you're in some form.
Yeah, that's what we're looking to do. We just keep doing what we're doing. We're not far away. It's just a couple of little errors here and there. We're just letting the side down, really, but we're not far away. We're not panicking. We know what we need to do to be successful, and we're working hard, and the players are all committed to the cause. I'm happy with them. Confidence is high, and I'm sure, yeah, if we can get another win Sunday, that'll set us on the way, and hopefully we'll go on a little run then.
Brilliant. Well, hopefully so, Kevin. Hopefully you'll be through to the next round of the Cup, and also making, let's say, two wins from two.
Lovely. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kevin. That was Kevin Hoover there, the Cambridge United Women's Manager, talking all things FA Cup and League Cup this weekend. Let's quickly run through your Cambridgeshire County update now. And in the Kershaw Premier this weekend, their wins for Fulham Institute, Linton Grant and Great Shelford, as they all remain on 19 points at the top of the table respectively. It was second bottom versus third bottom two as Hemfords hosted Comberton. It was the visitors who came out on top in the winning side, edging the match 2-1. In Senior A, there is no let-up with Over as they thrash Fulham Institute Reserve 7-1 to remain top of the league by 5 points. There was a scrap at the bottom two as Hundon registered their first win of the season against Cotton United. In Senior B, leaders AFC Barlymow have extended their lead over third to 4 points as Needingworth could only draw with Great Chisel. Bluntsham are doing their best to keep the pressure on the top, though, as they won again, beating bottom club Royston 1-0 for their ninth loss of the season. In 1A, Milton remained top after defeating 4th place Bassingbourne 2-1. In 1B, Chatteris Town Reserves got their first win of the season against 2nd bottom Tuddham to lift themselves 2 places off the bottom. Leaders Ackerbury didn't play. And in 2A, top of the league Meldrith were held at home by 4th bottom Gamlingay 1-1. Comberton United Reserves couldn't capitalise though, as they were held 2. For more of the Cambridgeshire County League results, make sure to head over to the Full Time website and type in the Cambridgeshire County League. They'll get your results there. But that's it from me this week. I'll be back on the Cambridgeshire Football Show this Saturday, previewing all this weekend's football. But if you want more from the Terraces, tune in Sunday and next Wednesday for Terraces Extra once again. Goodbye.